In this gospel, as in so many others, Jesus is speaking on two levels. He's saying one thing and they're hearing another. He's speaking of heaven and spiritual things. They're thinking of their stomachs and about the bread that they received for nothing the last time they saw him across the sea. And I think we struggle too with this God saying one thing and we hearing something else, and God has to hide himself at times until we understand what he's saying. We have to struggle to understand what God is speaking to us in the circumstances and events of our lives. All three of these gospels we've had in a row have been a lot of movement. Jesus goes across the sea 3 weeks ago for rest and finds a huge crowd that he tried to get away from, and he teaches them, doesn't feed them. He feeds them with his mouth, with his words, you know. And then the next gospel, all the crowd comes to him, and he says, the disciples say, where are we going to get enough food? And he feeds them with all this multiplication of bread. They get the wrong idea. They want to make him earthly king. So he disappears. Nobody knows where he went. He went up to the hills to pray, but he managed to escape without anybody seeing that he left or where he went. So Jesus did something divine here. So what do? They go looking for him again, and the smart ones have heard him speak before, and they hot-foot it off to Capernaum, again across the sea, and they wait for him. They scout the roads. They know he's going to come back there. This is where his home base is, those who heard him when he was at Peter's mother-in-law's house. They know this is home base. It will later be one of the first Christian churches. You can still see that today when you go there to Capernaum. So this is why they're surprised when he says, they see him. He shows up in Capernaum. They say, Rabbi, when did you get here? See, they've been looking at all the roads. Jesus didn't come the normal way. They're probably smart enough to look at the water, too, just in case he's walking across the water, which is in this reading that we skipped. And so Jesus takes this chance to challenge them. He says, you're not looking for me because you heard my teaching, but because you were filled with your stomachs with bread. He says, don't think with your stomach, think with your heart. I'm not here to fill your stomach, but your soul. See that? He's challenging them. He disappeared because they had the wrong idea of Christ, a political king in their case. This is not what he came for. We too often we pray for one thing, and when we don't get it, it seems as though Christ has disappeared, but actually, we've asked for the wrong thing. He has to wait until we understand his answer, you know, like a good parent. This lost and found, hide and seek, this is very common in the biblical stories, and it's common in our lives too. We pray, we have a great prayer time, and God seems very close, and then suddenly he's disappeared. Where is he gone? Maybe I'm having a lousy week or something, and physically, and suddenly God seems distant. He's still there, but he's hidden. It's part of God's training for us, you know. This is why these are our stories, not just a story of 2,000 years ago. Jesus still hides in the hills and then pops up in Capernaum at a time of his choosing. 30 years ago, I went to Athens. As you all know, I work for an airline, so we had a payday raffle. We had these about once a month. I don't know what you raffle off where you work, but we raffled off airline tickets, not a bad thing. And I remember I was with a very difficult customer, and there was a supervisor listening in, as I recall, and here comes somebody selling a ticket, and I wanted to get rid of her. So what do? I gave her $1 to get rid of her. First prize was a trip for two anywhere in the world, just the airfare. And the second was a trip to Athens with a stop in Rome. So guess what? I won second prize. You never know what one little investment will do sometimes. Changed my whole life. I said, who wants to go to Athens? A bunch of old rocks, you know. well, that was the wrong, you know, that just opened my mind, as travel always does. So we went there, I and a friend of mine, I still keep in touch with him. He's now retired from American Airlines. We were new hires back then. So we got there. It was February, which is probably the worst time in the world to go to Greece. It's very rainy. I don't think we realized that. But what we did was we went to a hotel, and then we took day trips. That's a good way to do something in a foreign city, actually. And one of the things we did was a day cruise in the Aegean Islands. I don't know which islands we went to anymore, but we stopped at this one island. It was pouring rain. The whole boat was filled with German and Japanese tourists. And, you know, and then there were the two of us. So I had an umbrella with me, fortuitously. And in front of me was this Japanese tourist who didn't speak a word of English. She looked so forlorn that of the weather was so bad. I felt so sorry for her. I said, here, you take my umbrella. I've got a hood, you know. So I gave her my umbrella, you know, just a little act of kindness. And I bought this camera for the trip, particularly to take pictures of Rome, you know, Catholic in Rome, and sounds exciting. So I was now looking for Greek sandals, you know, and I'm trying on these sandals, and this camera's around my neck, and it's hanging in front of me when I lean over. So I took it off my neck, and I said, I shouldn't do this, because I'm going to forget it. Came out with a great pair of sandals and no camera. So I rushed back there, probably about 5 minutes later, it was already gone. The shopkeeper said, I saw somebody walk off with it. So I ran up to the boat. You know, I was just horror stricken. You know, there's no such thing as a throwaway camera in those days. I thought, here I'm going to Rome with no camera. I checked at the front desk of the boat just in case it got turned in there. Of course it didn't. And I'm sitting on the boat, we went back out to sea, and I thought, well, I have to offer God my lost camera, lost and found. Even then I was asking myself, what are you saying to me, God? You took away my camera, I'm going to be in Rome, what I thought was the only time ever. What do you do? I just offered it to God, I remember this. As I finished my prayer, there was an announcement on the loudspeaker. If anyone lost a camera on the island, please see the front desk. I had checked there already. I got there. I said, is this your camera? He said, yeah, this is my camera. How did it get here? He said, well, that lady over there turned it in. Who do you think it was that turned it in? Exactly. Did she know it was me? She didn't know it was my camera. She did a kind thing. She picked it up in the chance that the person who left it there was on her boat. There were four boats there with thousands of people. What are the odds that she'd go to the right boat with my camera? What are the odds that the thousand people on that boat, she would be the one that found it? So as I got the camera back, I look at those pictures 30 years out now, the old and yellow pictures, not digital. One thinks about lost and found, you know, that it's miraculous to have those pictures, but the real story was that in losing something valuable, I learned an insight. I did get the camera back, but the main thing one takes back after decades later, the story is still very, very poignant. You do a small act of kindness, and it comes back to you. It will not be forgotten. I thought I'd lost God and his favor. In fact, I found God by that act of kindness. You see, that was Jesus with that umbrella, that small act of kindness. And the Lord used that by the loss of something to show me what life was about, a lesson far more valuable than camera pictures. This is what Jesus is trying to get across in this gospel. He says, you're looking for physical bread. I'm giving you the bread of life. You're looking to have your stomach filled. I tried to teach you. I taught you, even though I was exhausted that day. You're looking for me that I might multiply the loaves and you won't have to go shopping or working. That's not what I'm here for. I have to take that away from you so that you will seek me on this level. Christ is our bread. He feeds us each day with the food of his word and the circumstances of life, like my little story, you've all had these sorts of things happen to you, a kindness that came back to you. It was Christ. He said every one of these things is like this. This is our bread of life. The Eucharist is Christ hidden. He's not going to wave at us from the altar, but it's really him. He said it would be him. He said, this is my flesh. You must eat it and drink it. That's next week's gospel. But he also hides himself sometimes because we don't understand. You know, something's happened. And the Lord waits for us to catch up with him. He's there. He'll come back. But we have to learn something. He doesn't make it easy for us because we have to learn. And these tragedies of life, it isn't easy, but we've only got this life to learn. We too are seekers of God. We're going back and forth around the Sea of Galilee, which is life. Jesus comes here, goes there, teaches us, feeds us. But all the while, he's got his own agenda. And it doesn't match ours too often. So we pray that our Lord will help us to see things his way, that in his disappearances in life, he has something in mind. He doesn't abandon us. He just wishes us to seek the bread that comes from heaven and not just the earthly things that we are attracted to.